Well, good morning, everyone. It is Monday, November 9th, 2020, 10:05 a.m. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashes, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. And I just really quick on the opening comments. I was very excited, happy with the results last week in the election and the opportunity to serve another 6 years on the commission. And again, I couldn't be more excited about that. And I would just like to commend all candidates who are willing to put their name out there and to be on the ballot. It's not an easy thing running for public office. It takes a lot of time. Certainly an enormous amount of commitment and arguably a lot of courage in today's political environment. So for those who are willing to do it, including my opponent, Casey Buckman, thank you for being a part of the process. And with that, I will turn it over to Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Well, congratulations, Commissioner Crashes. Very excited to be able to work with you for another 6 years for you and however many years the citizens keep me here as well. Now I'm officially in campaign cycle now, so that's kind of an adjustment to think about. But you've done great work for the citizens of the state in your 4 years to date, and I look forward to joining forces with you in coming years and doing more great work. There's certainly a lot of important issues relating to the energy sector that we deal with and we regulate and are engaged in both in North Dakota and nationally, a lot of really vital issues and the transformation of one of the foundational industries in our country that everyone relies on. So it's important work, and I'm glad to be doing it with you. So thank you for that. And otherwise, I also appreciate you guys delaying, rescheduling this meeting from last Thursday until today to accommodate a few extra days for me to get my bad wing in order. It's still not quite where I had hoped to be right now, but I'm functional, so I appreciate the extra time to get ready. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchuk. Commissioner Christman?
Well, yes, I'll also add my congratulations to you, Mr. Chairman. A very decisive victory for you, which I think is well-deserved based on the work that you've done here over, just short of 4 years now. And so the citizens really spoke loud and clear on that. And congratulations to our other successful candidates across the state. And I'm, of course, a little less enthusiastic about some of the results we see across the nation. But here in North Dakota, I think a lot of good work was rewarded with a positive reaction from an enormous number of voters in the state. And so hats off to them. It wasn't the normal methodology for making their voice heard. And people did what they needed to do and made that voice heard. So congratulations on that. That concludes my opening comments.
Well, thank you for the kind words. Certainly do appreciate it. Okay, well, we will move right into the regular agenda. I have two items. The first, I move the commission assess on Otter Tail Power Company a filing fee of $70,000 and issue a notice of hearing in Nodak Electric Incorporated versus Otter Tail Power Company, complaint case number PU-20-356.
Second.
Okay, again, this is a notice of hearing. On case number PU-20-356, and the hearing will begin Tuesday, December 8th, 2020 at 8:30 a.m. Central Standard Time in the Commission Hearing Room, 12th floor, at the State Capitol here in Bismarck, and it will be accessible as well remotely and virtually as we've been doing all meetings since COVID began, or essentially since COVID protocol was put in place. due to the pandemic, of course. This stems from a complaint that Nodak Electric Cooperative filed on July 29th, 2020. They filed that against Otter Tail Power Company. And the complaint states that Otter Tail Power threatens to extend its service to serve a customer in what is known as the McFarland's Addition in Pembina County, North Dakota, which is now a part of Drayton. That area was just incorporated, annexed into the corporate limits recently. And the complaint alleges that Otter Tail Power did not first obtain a certificate from the commission that public convenience and necessity would require an extension of service from Otter Tail to that customer. Nodak further alleges that the system extension by Otter Tail Power would interfere with Nodak's service and system would be a wasteful duplication of facilities. So this is a Territorial Integrity Act case. This would be the second, I believe, that I have been involved with during my time at the commission, but they certainly arise from time to time, and the issues that the commission will consider, and I'll just read them real quickly. One, from who does the customer prefer electric service? Two, what electric suppliers are operating in the general area? Three, what electric supply lines exist within at least a two-mile radius of the location to be served? When were they constructed? Four, what customers are served by electrical suppliers within at least a two-mile radius of the location to be served? Five, what are the differences in terms of reliability of service? Six, which would of the electric suppliers would be able to serve the location more economically and still earn an adequate return on its investment? Seven, what supplier would serve would best what suppliers extended electric service would best serve orderly and economic development of electric service in the general area? Number eight, would this result in a wasteful duplication of investment or service? And nine, is it probable that the location in question will be included within the corporate limits of a municipality within the foreseeable future? That recently occurred, as mentioned. And number 10, will service by either of the electric supplier, by either electric supplier in the area unreasonably interfere with the service or system of the other? So we'll have the formal hearing again here at the state capitol, and also simultaneously from a virtual standpoint, and we'll take a look at those aspects of the case and make a determination on who should serve that particular customer. Commissioner Fedorchuk, any comments?
No comments for me. Thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman?
No comments.
Okay, that concludes the comments. Steve, are you on the line? Or can I just move ahead and take a vote?
I think so.
Okay, all in favor?
We have a motion and a second.
Pardon?
We have a motion and a second.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved. Okay, my next motion, I move the commission suspend the tariff and rates filing and assess an application fee of $10,000 in Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2021 tariff and rates, case number PU-20-426.
Second.
Okay, this is again related to a requirement that Northern States Power Company, as well as the other utilities, have to provide updated numbers on riders that they have as a part of their electric rates. We just do this on the electric side. We don't do this on the natural gas side in terms of having riders in place. And this has been, of course, filed by Northern States Power Company. And at this point, normally, I just want to, one of the caveats to this, normally we would be issuing a notice of opportunity for hearing, but staff is actually evaluating some of the details on this currently, and we'll either request a formal hearing And that will be scheduled, or if they do not request a formal hearing, that would be advocacy staff, then a notice of opportunity for hearing will be issued. So this is just another step in the process, and as staff evaluates, we should be able to make a determination as to whether or not we're going to have a formal hearing or issue a notice of opportunity for hearing on the next commission meeting. That concludes my remarks. Commissioner Fedorchuk, any comments?
No comments, thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
No, sir.
And I don't see Matt waving that we might have Steve on. So we have a motion and a second, sensing no further discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman?
You know what? We did not. We will do that here next. I appreciate that. Steve, are you on?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Steve. Steve, can you hear it? Okay, I'm going to, Matt, are you working with?
Would you like to go back and actually consider?
Steve, you're breaking up. We're going to go back, though. Stacy pointed out that we need to approve the consent in the previous minutes. So I will do that before handing the agenda off or moving to Commissioner Christman's portfolio items. So we have six items on consent in the previous minutes. I move approval.
Second. And Mr. Chairman, you're including the minutes of the 21st and the 28th, correct? With that special meeting in the meantime?
Correct. That would be for both of those. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved. Thank you, Stacy. It's amazing when we're missing Steve. You just kind of hear these things and they happen. So, Commissioner Christman, I'll turn it over to you.
Before I start, Mr. Chairman, a procedural question. For Matt, maybe, since we're having this inability to communicate with Steve, are we sure that this meeting is being broadcast and recorded? Or
yes, monitoring it.
Okay, I just want to make sure in case we had to start over.
Nope, Steve's the one having issues. I see he left. I think he's going to try to come back in.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
Well, then, RC1, Mr. Chairman, I move the commission approve the revised decommissioning plan and cost estimate filed on October 16, 2020 in Northern Divide Wind LLC, 200 megawatt Northern Divide Wind Energy Center, Burke County, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-20-270.
Second, I don't know if you can hear me, but the audio went out on my end. So.
I hear you just fine.
Okay, now I hear you. Good.
So on September 22nd, Northern Divide Wind, and that's a, I don't know if I mentioned the date before. Yeah, that's a different date than the October 16th one I mentioned. Back on September 22nd, Northern Divide Wind filed a decommissioning plan and cost estimate. This facility is estimated to be operational yet in 2020. It'll have a nameplate capacity of 197.92 megawatts with 74 installed turbines. The decommissioning estimate was approximately $9.7 million. Staff raised concerns that the plan's costs were developed based on a reconditioning option versus an option that treated the components as scrap. So then on October 16th, Northern Divide filed a revised decommissioning plan and cost estimate. The decommissioning plan now is up from that $9.7 million to approximately $13.6 million, which if you just simply divided it by the number of turbines, which I always point out is not really an accurate way to do it because, you know, there are other factors like miles of road and such too. But the average per turbine would come out to $183,588 in this case. So staff has reviewed the revised decommissioning plan and cost estimate and recommends commission approval, as do I.
Okay, Commissioner Fedorchuk, any comments?
No comments. Thank you to the staff for their good work.
Yeah, I would agree. When I saw the numbers the first time when it was submitted, I thought the 131 was very low and had some concerns with that. So nice work to staff and to the portfolio holder for getting that brought to a more reasonable number, for sure.
It's hats off to staff and also not only catching that they weren't following the procedures that we've adopted to a T, but also doing it in such a timely manner. You know, it's just weeks actually since the original mm-hmm. one. So they really worked quickly, as did Northern Divide Wind, to revise it correctly.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission approve revision number 3-2 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-9503 held by the Falkirk Mining Company for the Falkirk Mine to delete 9.4 acres from the permit that have not been disturbed by mining activities.
Second.
On September 24th, Falkirk filed the revision application to delete these 9.4 acres from the permit that has not been impacted by coal mining or the reclamation operations. The property is in the northwest quarter of Section 18 in Township 145 of Range 82, and of course that mine is entirely in McLean County. This undisturbed land is being deleted from the permit to construct a carbon sequestration well by Midwest Ag Energy under the Vision Carbon Zero initiative. The project is currently under construction within the deleted acreage. It was originally permitted for surface disturbance only, and the surface ownership is the Falkirk Mining Company. Reclamation Division staff inspected this acreage on October 14th and 25th, and then again on October 15th to verify that the property has not been disturbed by either mining or reclamation activities. There's not going to be a monetary bond adjustment on this revision because it's so small. I'd expect that Falkirk will eventually submit bond riders to remove this acreage from the performance bond area in the future, but that's not a part of this. I just want to point out this carbon sequestration well is a big, big deal. It's huge for Dakota Ag Energy and for the farmers and ranchers up in that area that sell there, and for our ethanol supply, for them to be able to, move to a carbon sequestration system. But I also want to highlight that the Lignite Research Council is paying for a bulk share of this multi-million-dollar well. And once everything is completed, there'll be some excellent research done by the EERC up at UND to determine just whether this is a good location for carbon sequestration, what potential volumes are there. And actually, the Lignite Research Council, and then subsequently it was affirmed by the Industrial Commission, actually added to the original grant to dig deeper with that well. And instead of just touching on one of the underground features, to drill all the way through that feature that is expected to be a good vessel for storage of carbon, because if this works out as hoped, it could actually end up being, and hopefully will end up being, the carbon sequestration solution not only for Midwest Ag Energy, but for keeping the Coal Creek Station operating for many years into the future, providing what would then be carbon-free or close to carbon-free electricity from coal. And so this is an exciting project. It's being done on mine land, as I said. It's not ever been disturbed for either mining or reclamation. That was always a given from the original permitting, that this was just, you know, nearby but not going to be mined anyway. And this gets it out of Falkirk's responsibility and into Midwest Ag Energy's responsibility.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Hi there. It's a pretty straightforward permit revision as that goes, but as Commissioner Christman said, it's really exciting development and another step towards the carbon capture and sequestration that we all know is vital to our coal and our lignite industry, and also continues to invest in the belief that North Dakota is one of the best places to work on and perfect this technology and commercialize it. And I just continue to support the state's efforts in this regard and hope that we can make some really good, fast progress on it, because it is vital to the long-term health of our lignite industry. So thank you, Commissioner Christman, for bringing this forward.
I would agree, and really just echoing Commissioner Christman's thoughts. This really is a critical component related to the long-term use of coal, the viability of our lignite industry, and ultimately, as has been discussed extensively, reliability of the electric grid. So just an incredibly important project, and very, very exciting to see what direction this takes it. We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Steve.
Thank you. I think I'm back and stable now.
Okay, we'll let you tackle the last one. How does that sound?
RC3, I move the commission adopt the order to show cause in Public Service Commission versus Quest Corporation, show cause, case number PU-20-442.
Second.
Well, beginning on August 27th, commission staff received a complaint from Sharon Gerbig, who's a rural Amadon resident, stating that she and her husband Gordon Gerbig have had unresolved issues with their landline phone service. Commission staff has worked at resolving the quality of service with the Gerbigs and CenturyLink. As of the end of October, the issue has not been resolved. The Gerbigs continue to have issues with quality of service to the point where service is at times non-existent and causes the Gerbigs to have concerns with safety, as well as the ability to conduct business and communicate with family members. I want to emphasize this wasn't an occurrence on August 27th, and then it was ultimately fixed, and now we're bringing an order to show cause. This has drug on these months with multiple examples of contacts with the company showing that the issue is resolved, or in at least one instances, that there's no more open work order on the case after having discussed it multiple times, and continued conversations between staff and the Gerbigs where their phone service is not working, or it's working extraordinarily poorly, where you have trouble understanding conversations. And actually, the August 27th incident was not a new thing either. This has really drug on for much longer than that. I find it unacceptable. not everyone has cell service. Not everyone has options where they can go somewhere else for phone service. And I know in a lot of instances where people have those things, they don't consider the old traditional landline phone as that important. But when it's all you have and that is your tool for 911 service, that is your tool for reverse 911, which in instances like we were experiencing last August when she called, and she didn't bring this up, I'm pointing this out, or at least I don't know that she brought it up. But living in rural areas, one of the advancements that we've made in recent decades is reverse 911, so people can be notified that a prairie fire is coming or something like that. And, you know, we see it in California all fall here where they're doing that and people are able to be evacuated and, you know, sadly might lose their home, but at least they were able to be evacuated because they were notified that something uncontrollable is coming their way. With this phone out of service like this for most of the time through months, it's just something that can't go on. And so the actual memo at this point shows an open date. I hope we'll schedule the date for CenturyLink to show cause as quickly as possible. And we'll plug that in, but we'll hopefully schedule that at our admin meeting here in a few minutes. But we really need to move forward and get this issue resolved once and for all.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, any comments?
Thank you, Randy, for bringing this forward. In the consumer affairs portfolio that I work on and keep in touch with Stacy on, this has been an issue that she's brought to my attention for a good number of months, and she's expressed a lot of frustration in her ability to get resolution with Quest on any concerns, and this is one of the most egregious ones now. So unfortunately, you know, they made some progress in the state and made some investments, and now it seems like they've kind of backed off again and have not left us a whole lot of options for resolving these sorts of things. So I fully support this matter and this approach of requiring them to come in and explain to us what's going on and what their plan is and why they haven't taken care of this. So thank you for taking this step, and I look forward to hoping to get this resolved as soon as possible for this family who relies on this, as you said, for essential emergency communications and you know, other daily communications. So it's an important function that we're serving with CenturyLink in our state. And hopefully this will result in some action to improve the situation by the company. Thank you.
Well, I agree with the approach as well. And you're exactly right in terms of, I think sometimes the assumption is that everyone has cell service. And especially for people who might live in Bismarck or Mandan, you automatically have cell service, and you assume that every location in the state does. But I can say with just from firsthand experience, when I'm in the farmyard and the ranch is maybe 20, 25 miles north as the crow flies from Amadon, there isn't cell service because a lot of the farmsteads are situated in protected areas. And I can get a quarter of a mile, half a mile from the farmyard, even a quarter mile, I have cell service. But if there's an emergency, you're not going to know about it via your cell phone when you're sitting in the yard. I don't know how their place is situated, but it is incredibly important, and it's a responsibility the company has in terms of serving that area. So completely agree with the approach.
I, Mr. Chairman, just also want to commend our staff. They've worked hard on this, and Ms. Gerbig has reached out to me at one point, too, and had nothing but compliments, but yet I think have shown extraordinary patience with the company to try and work through this, just multiple calls and contacts and everything. And so thank you for working so hard at trying to resolve it an easier way, but we're left with this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Kind of an interesting sequence. We were able to get Steve back. Thank you for pointing out the prelude to taking the vote. That was helpful. Just hadn't really thought about it before. Steve does that. It's like, Steve's gone. So, but he's back. All right. That concludes the regular agenda. A couple of announcements. The next commission meeting is Wednesday, November 18th at 10 a.m. Along with the administrative and portion of the meeting at 1:30. We have it scheduled as an informal. I don't believe we have an informal though on November 18th, but it's showing up on the announcements. Or was that just the placeholder?
I don't recall. I'm just opening mine up, but I don't recall one.
I think that was apparently just a placeholder.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct.
Okay, now I'm showing on mine, though, informal hearing NSP, transmission and renewable. Resource cost recovery.
I'm showing that Victor did schedule something there.
Okay. Let's just double check. Do you have that, Commissioner Christman?
Oh, I don't have anything up yet.
Okay. Well, it's on the calendar, so it's, again, at 1:30 on Wednesday, November 18th. That would be an informal with NSP for both transmission renewable cost recovery. So, assuming that is correct, which I believe it is. And then on Monday, November 23rd at 9 a.m., we do have a formal hearing. That is for case number PU-20-381, New Star Pipeline. And that is a 10-inch north system pipeline relocation is what it's called in Cass County. So that concludes the announcements. We'll now take a brief recess, take questions from the press.